Good morning, church. I am so excited to be here and share my story of being a compassion sponsor. 25 years ago, I had no idea what Compassion International was, but my son Keith had just been hired by Compassion, and like a normal mama, we want to know what our kids are doing, even when they're adults. So he was working an event in Myrtle Beach, and he said, "Mama, you need to come and see what I'm doing." And I did. And when I went to that event, I heard about the ministry of Compassion International. What really resonated with me is Compassion works with the local churches in the most impoverished countries of this world. They train the staff and the people at the church to be able to help and minister to the poorest of poor in their communities. And Compassion comes alongside them and uses people like me as resources to fund and help this program. Well, I looked at some packets like you're going to do today, and I saw a limb. She lived in Ethiopia, and I can tell you that God said, "This is the one you need to sponsor." And so they told me I could write, and I started writing. Well, you know, 25 years ago, you wrote letters by hand, and you took your film to Walmart and get them processed. So I got my pictures, and I sent Alem pictures and letters, and soon I was getting letters from Alem, and we developed a relationship. I wanted to know all about her and how to pray for her, and I told her about me and how she could pray for me. Well, a year later, I got a letter from Compassion saying that they were taking a group of sponsors from all over the United States to Ethiopia to meet their Compassion child. And I'd never been to Africa, but I said yes. Now, it was a long flight. We left on Saturday, and I got there on Sunday. But we were so excited to see our child. The next day, we went to the church where the center was located. This is where the children come. At this center, they came on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. They were given nutritious meals and clean water, which was unheard of. And they were mentored with their schoolwork. They were helped learn about Jesus. And that's where I said, "I want to help with this ministry." So they showed me a LEMS folder, and I could see her grades. I could see that they had bought her uniforms to go to school, because you can't go to school in these countries without a uniform, and you sure can't go if you don't have your money for their school fees. Schools aren't free over there. So a LEM was able to come here and get caught up on her school, and she got to come to the center and learn about Jesus, and she got to have fun and do crafts and play games and be loved on by the church. And her mother and her sister soon came to church. Well, I got to go to Alem's home. Now, I use that term kind of loosely because it's not like our homes. I'd never been to a slum area. I'm a little typical middle-class lady. So when we're walking through these crowded alleys, and I don't know what we were stepping in, but we stepped through a lot of stuff, and these were like corrugated tin and plywood homes. They were like rooms side by side by side by side along, and they had no windows, dirt floor, no electricity, no running water. and certainly no sewage. So when I got to a Lim's home, there was her mother and her, and a Lim and I just grabbed each other and hugged each other, and then we laughed because she was wearing this cute denim jumper that Compassion had gotten for her, and I was wearing my cute denim skirt. So we had that in common. I went inside her home, and they had found some plastic chairs so we'd have something to sit on, and we had an interpreter with us. And as my eyes got adjusted, because it was kind of dark in there, there was a big picture of the praying Jesus. You've probably seen that in your lifetime. I don't know where they got this picture, but what I noticed was on the picture frame was all the pictures that I had sent a Lim. There was me and Rick and my children, my cat, my dog, my flowers, Rick catching a fish. They were all there. And then a Lim told me, she said, "I was baptized last week. I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. I wish you could have been there." And I said, "I'm so sorry I missed that, but I'm so glad you're a sister in Christ with me." Then she showed me her shoebox, and it was full of all the letters that a Lim, that I had written to a Lim. And she said she read them over and over, and her mother loved hearing the letters that I wrote. Well, just for your information, I don't write Ethiopian. But Compassion translates those, and they translate my letters. And the good news about writing letters, you can do it online. It's much easier than doing them handwritten letters. Well, a Lim and I had so much to talk about, but one of the things that we did was get to go shopping with her, and I was able to buy a Lim a new outfit and some shoes, some groceries for her family. And when we went back, I had a new backpack for her full of goodies. It was a glorious, glorious day. And I sure did not want to say goodbye to her. But I know without a shadow of a doubt, there will be a time that a Lim and I will be rejoicing in heaven. Well, when I got back to the States, I continued writing Lim. But I decided I needed some more kids. So I started sponsoring more kids. And then I asked Compassion, "What else can I do?" And they asked me to be the area coordinator of South Carolina, which means you go around speaking to churches like this one and telling people about Compassion and training other sponsors to do that. Then I got asked to be the volunteer coordinator, which means all the events in South Carolina that Compassion endorses need volunteers like me to go help tell other people about Compassion and get more kids sponsored. So that's what I've been doing for 25 years. I have visited 9 of my children, not all of them, but I've got to see 9 of them in 9 different countries. The stories are the same. They love Jesus. Many of them have graduated by now, and some of them I've been able to stay in touch with. But most important is they all are believers and know the Lord. They are teachers now, dental hygienists, electricians, and multiple tasks, but all of them are now able to live a good life and help their families and help their own communities. But I have an even better story. I have Cecilia's story that she's from Nairobi, Kenya, and she has the most amazing story you've ever heard. Let's welcome Cecilia.
Thank you so much, Ms. Pratt. Good morning. It's still morning, right? I think I've had maybe coffee once, but it's still morning. I'm so glad to be here this morning and just thanking God for the opportunity to be here as a testimony of who He is and how He changes stories and how He uses people, people that sometimes we don't even know, to change the stories of our lives. I am originally from Kenya, but I live in Memphis, Tennessee, so I did not come in from Kenya last night, but I've been here for a while, and I'm so grateful to God for the opportunity to be here today. As Ms. Pratt was sharing about her compassion child and children, I was just thinking of, she is already saying my story. She has already told you everything that I lived through. But I'm here today just to highlight a few things from most of what Ms. Pacha said about my experience in the Compassion Program. Believe it or not, I was once a face on one of those packets that you are seeing on your pews today or that you see out there. And here I am today because of God's love, because of God's faithfulness, and because God changes lives and God changes stories. I grew up in a village in Western Kenya. I came from a large family who were initially 10 children. And as she was describing those houses, our house actually was not a tin roof, but it was made of grass. So it was one room, the roof was made of grass, the walls were made of mud, the floor was made of mud, and anytime it rained, you had to keep adding grass to the roof so you don't get soaked in. And my parents did not have a source of income. What they did was subsistence farming, meaning they grew things on the farm. So if anything grew, we had food, and most of the time, we did not have food. Being in a village setup meant that my parents did not go to school. So they did not see the importance of education for my siblings and I. So most of the time, when other kids were going to school, we were doing house chores. We were going to the farm. We were going to look for water. We were going to look for firewood. If we had food, then we could cook. If not, then we would wait until we had food, and then we would cook. And to add on to that, both of my parents were alcoholics. So many times they would disappear from home. They would go drinking somewhere. We would not know where they were, but you'd surely know when they were back because they would be loud, there would be chaos, there would be fighting, there would be violence. And our home was known for all the wrong reasons. It's either the home where our parents were never there most of the time, but when they were there, they were always fighting. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Being in that kind of environment, I did not think I would be anything, or I would ever go to school, or I would ever leave my village and go anywhere, because there was nothing for me. I did not look past today, because most of the time we're thinking, are we going to have food today? Were we ever going to go to school? But I'm grateful for a God who changes stories. Today I'm going to talk about three sets of people that God put in my life for me to be able to be standing here today. The first person I'm going to talk about is my uncle, my mother's brother. He was the only one in their family who had gone to school. In the whole village, he was the only one who had gone to school and knew the importance of education. So he one day came home and told my mom that he was going to help her, that our family could not go on like that. Like those stories that were being said in the village, he said, "This family cannot go on like this. So I am going to help you by taking one of your children. And I'm going to go with this child in Nairobi, which is the capital city of Kenya. I'm going to put this child in school, and I hope that one day this child will come back and change this family." So you can guess which child he picked, right? So he picked me because apparently I shared my middle name with my grandmother, so that's his mother. So he picked me to go live with him in Nairobi. True to his word, he put me in school. But he could not keep me in school because he could not afford to pay for me and my cousins to stay in school. It was not a lot of money, maybe a dollar or two back then, but we could not afford it. So as Ms. Pat was talking about school not being free, I lived through that. I was one of those kids that would go to school and they would tell me that I have not finished paying my tuition money, so I should go home and bring it. So they would send me home, I would go home, and I know that there's no money. That's my uncle's home. I would go and there's no money, so what do? I stay there for some time, and then I think maybe they forgot that I owe them money in school. Let me go back. So I go back to school after a few days, and no, they have not forgotten. So they send me back home again. So back and forth, back and forth. There was no money that I was going to get from home. So I would stay, come back, get sent back, and back and forth, back and forth. And I really, really wanted to stay in school. The second person I'm going to talk about today is my grade three teacher. After all this back and forth, my grade three teacher decided that there was no reason to send me home because I was not going to come back with any money. So she let me stay in school when other kids would be sent home. Sometimes I would be one of those kids and I would stay home for like a whole semester because there was no money. And she just decided that she was not going to send me home. She would let me stay in school when other kids were going home. And through that, I am grateful because, as Ms. Pat mentioned about compassion, working with the local churches and having projects in these churches, one of the things that they do is they have social workers in these projects, the people who know the community, who can go out there and look for those needy children. And they would go from school to school looking for these children. So one day they happened to come to my school, and guess who gave them my name? My grade three teacher. She gave them my name. I got enrolled in the Compassion Program around the age of 9, and that is when my life began to change. I am so grateful for Compassion International because the third set of people I'm going to talk about are my Compassion sponsors, Bob and Colleen Staggs from Ames, Iowa. As Ms. Pat mentioned about the relationship part that she had with our sponsored children, for me, that is one of the reasons that I'm standing here today. It was not just about the money, but it's also about the relationship. My sponsors encouraged me a lot. Bob and Colleen Staggs wrote letters to me. I always try to think of a child living in a third world country, in extreme poverty, with nothing positive surrounding you. Then you get this letter from someone who is thousands and thousands of miles away, whom you've never met, and whom you never think that you'd ever meet, writing something to you and saying that we love you, we are praying for you, we are here for you. For me, those were things that I could not even comprehend at that time because I was like, why do they care for someone like me? They've never met me. They don't even know me. Why would they care that I go to school? Why would they give so that I could go to school? Why would they give so that I could get medical care? As she was talking about medical care, for me, it's kind of personal because I lost two brothers to diseases that were preventable, but because we could not afford medical care, one of my sisters died when my mom was giving birth at home because she could not afford to go to hospital. So for me, even being able to go to the Compassion Project, to be able to get medical care there, is something that I do not take for granted because I am here because of God's love, because of God's grace. I am thankful for the sponsorship of Bob and Colleen Staggs that enabled me. Their giving did not just enable me to go to school, but to stay in school, for me to be able to complete my elementary education and then go to high school through Compassion. All through that, knowing that my sponsors were supporting me, that no matter how hard things got, they had my back, made me continue going on and on. From there, I went to the University of Nairobi to pursue a bachelor's degree in physics, which I completed 2006. Don't try to guess how old I am, okay? And from there, when I graduated from the Compassion Program, and I got a scholarship to go to Italy for 2 years to pursue a postgraduate diploma in physics. And in 2011, I came to the University of Memphis in Tennessee to pursue a PhD in geophysics, which by the grace of God, I completed in December of 2015. God has been good and God has been faithful, and He has changed not just my story, but the story of our family. One of the most important things that I got from the project was also learning the Word of God and knowing that God loved me, and one of the social workers sharing with me about the love of God and me giving my life to Jesus. I got my first Bible from the Compassion Project because nobody in our family was even going to church or anything. But I remember praying and asking God to change the story of our family. My prayer was, Lord, could my parents just stop drinking? Because I knew that was the source of all of our problems. And it took many years, but God finally answered that prayer. And my parents stopped drinking. They gave their lives to Jesus and they started going to church. And that was something I never thought was possible. My husband and I are currently sponsors with Compassion because for me, I know what it means to be that child who's a face on a packet waiting for someone to pick you up, speak hope, and speak life to you, and knowing that you can be anything you want to be because you have someone supporting you all through it. I have maybe 3 slides to share with you, and I will cue the first slide if possible. Yeah, that's me. I know you don't believe it, but that was me many, many years ago. And this picture really reminds me of God's faithfulness, because my sponsors told me when they heard about Compassion, they were looking for 2 things. They were looking for a boy, and they were looking for a boy who shared a birthday with their grandson. But they got my packet. They took me home. I don't know how they thought I was a boy, but they took me home, and I'm grateful that they did not return that packet, that they decided to sponsor me through the child sponsorship program, through the leadership development program that saw me through college, and I'm just so grateful that they stuck with me. The next picture I'm going to share with you is of me and my sponsors. I met my sponsors in 2011 when I just come for my PhD. I just began, and they drove from Ames, Iowa to Memphis, Tennessee. And we spent a whole day together, and they introduced me to a very nice fried chicken place that I didn't even know existed. Gus Fried Chicken, if you're ever in Memphis, try it. And we had a good day just telling them, thank you. Thank you for all you have done for me. Thank you for giving me hope. Thank you for giving me a future. Thank you for giving so I could be here today. And as I stand here today, God has been faithful, not just in my life, but also helping us to, my husband and I, we reach out back to the village and look for one in every family whose parents cannot afford to take them to school, and we sponsor them through school to ensure that, just as my uncle did for me, take one, ensure they can stand on their own so they, in turn, they can go back and change their families. The last photo I'm going to share with you is of my family, my husband and my daughter. So this morning, I stand here in honor of my daughter. She went to be with Jesus last year, June. It's almost 1 year. And she got sick. We had just come from Kenya, and she got sick on our way back. She passed away in Detroit before we could get to Memphis. And I stand here this morning in her honor because she was that child who would always say, Mommy, I'm going to buy food for those who don't have food. I'm going to build houses for those who don't have houses. And that just brings me to knowing that God can use anybody. God can use our stories, our pain, and anything to transform lives. I stand here this morning because God is good, because God is faithful, that no matter what, He remains God. I pray for those children today that are waiting for someone to pick them up and just speak hope and speak life to them. Because if God could take someone like me from a village in Western Kenya, move me to Nairobi, take me through school and move me to Italy and move me to Memphis and bring me to South Carolina today, just saying how good and faithful He is, then he can do it for each and every one of them. I stand here today as I work as a director for institutional research and assessment in Memphis. I also have an organization for Kenya Women in Physics Association, which is a mentorship program that encourages women and girls to pursue physics. And I'm just grateful that God has not stopped using my story to transform lives. And I pray that he'll continue to bless us, continue to use this time for us to be able to just be able to go out there and give and be a light to other people. So God bless you so much.